Good morning, church. Go ahead and have a seat. Good to see everybody this morning. Kids, you are dismissed to your special area. We have a special Sunday going on today. Am I doing announcements first, Leslie? Okay. I know we talked about this, but I forgot. So the D kids are going on summer vacation, so grades K through 5. Today is the last day that they will be in class. Every time after that, they will be with us in here. So make sure when they're in here, you're on your best behavior. Okay? I'm looking at a few of you in the back. All right? But we will still have our nursery and pre-K classes. Sorry. We'll continue all summer long. Also, we are announcing that July 22nd through the 25th is our VBS dates. So we will have more information to come. And I'm going to start by saying what terrible planning for my first year here. So we had already had vacation lined up before Michigan was even a thought. So we will actually be on vacation during VBS. And I just want to reassure you that is not normal practice for your pastor to be gone during VBS. Okay, so I want to put that out there and be like, I'm not like skipping out on VBS, all right? I want to teach VBS, so the year after that I'll be. Anyways, that's coming up July 22nd through the 25th. Is that it, Leslie?
Yep.
That's it, right? Okay, perfect. I got the okay from Leslie, so now we can move on. So if you are a graduate, I would like you to come up on stage so I can make fun of you and mock you. Publicly, of course, within good nature. So there should be 4 today, right? They skipped out. Oh, they're walking slow. Brent, which microphone do you want me to use? The drummer? Well, you got to get on stage. I'm not going to bite you, okay? Did you turn it off? It's green. It's on, right? You did. So it turns out I'm publicly mocking you instead of them. Okay, this is perfect. All right, who wants to go first? Where's Braden? Braden, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure.
All right, you slide down. Braden, come here. We're missing one. No. Where's Taylor? She's skipping out on us. Okay, all right. I'm going to have you hold this, all right? So go ahead and tell everyone your name.
I'm Braden Hibbs.
Braden Hibbs, all right. You can clap for him, okay. Yeah. That took a lot of guts to do that, okay? Are you nervous, Braden?
Like for this or after high school?
No, like this right now.
Oh, no, I'm good.
You're good. Okay. Well, since you brought it up, are you nervous for after high school?
Not really. Just looking forward to the new opportunities.
Could you explain to us maybe what those new opportunities are?
So I've been building for almost 2 years now, and I'm going to keep building afterward. You can hear me. I'm loud. And I'm going to continue building afterward. Right now I'm actually at the theater working with my brother. But I am currently searching to go out and keep being in the construction and building trades. And that's what my plan is. I might take some business courses too, try to expand my knowledge with that, and hopefully own my own business.
Very cool. Give it a round for Braden. All right, go ahead and pass it down. I'm guessing this is your brother, right? This is Logan. All right, now you get out of here. You come closer. How you doing? Are you doing well today?
I am doing good, actually.
Okay, good. So this is Logan, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Logan, are you nervous? Like right now, in this second?
Not really, no.
Okay, you're feeling good like your brother?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I making you uncomfortable with my arm around you?
No.
Okay, perfect. Well, you're making me a little uncomfortable, so I'm going to step back. I'm just kidding. So could you just tell us maybe what you're planning on doing now that you're kind of moving on? Out of high school.
I'm going to be online at NMC for a business class for a couple of years, and then I'm going to be transferring to Central Michigan University for pre-law.
Pre-law. Woo! So if I need a lawyer in the future.
Let's hope not.
That's true. That's true. I didn't really think that one through. That's why you're going to be a good lawyer. That's why you're going to be a good one. All right, let's pass it down. Then you get out of here. Can you tell everyone your name?
I'm Braylee Wheeler.
Braylee, all right. Logan, did they clap for you?
No, we did.
Did you didn't clap for it, Logan? Dude's going into pre-law and you didn't even clap for him.
We did.
Unbelievable. All right, Braylee. I want to ask a new question. I want to mix it up a little bit. Are you okay with that?
Sure.
Could you tell us your favorite ice cream? This is an important question.
Yeah, it's a hard one. Probably peanut butter brownie crunch.
Peanut butter brownie.
It's kind of a rare one.
But if you like it, you like it. Are you going to clap for that? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about what your plans are moving forward?
I'm going to be attending the University of Michigan this fall to pursue a degree in maybe political science on a pre-law or something. I don't know. I'm kind of undecided still, so I'll try to figure my life out, but yeah.
Good news is you don't have to figure your life out just yet. You got some time. Okay. All right. So we'll give our graduates another round of applause. I'm going to take this from you. So I'm going to turn this off. I'm going to step down here. All right. So Braden.
Thank you.
Logan. Braylee. So these are all study Bibles that we got for you as a church. And so hopefully you can take these with you to wherever you go after this and you know, take God's word with you wherever you go. Okay. Now, family and friends, this is what I want to do next. So we're gonna pray a special blessing over these graduates. And what I want to do right now is if they've had an impact in your life or you've had an impact in their life and you want to just kind of surround them and put your hands on them, you are more than welcome to get out of your seats and come up to the graduate and put your hands on them as we pray for them. Okay? No one's going to step up. This would be the moment that you step up. Don't be shy. But the more people we have involved in prayer, the better. Even if you weren't involved with their life at all and you just want to pray with them and put hands on them, you are more than welcome to. As we've all been to that point where we're moving on to that next stage of life. It's a really, really difficult stage of life. And what we most often find during this time of high school to college age is that a lot of people lose their faith during this time because the faith was never their own. It was their parents' or their grandparents' faith. And so what we're praying for today is that God's Spirit would work in their life in a profound way, that it would become their faith and their Jesus and their life and not someone else's. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we are inviting your Spirit upon this place right now. And we're asking that your Spirit would move in a profound way, Lord, as we are gathered together with these graduates and they are beginning to move into that next phase of life. Lord, I'm just praying that your presence will be upon their life, that it would move in a significant way, that as they begin to transition to this new season of life, that it would be your Spirit that would make it their faith, that Jesus would become so real in their life they had nowhere else to turn but to you. That no matter what happens in this next stage of life, that they would trust you, that you would guide them, that you would lead them, Lord. You would give them the strength they need for the days ahead. And all the the wildness that comes with transitioning out of high school into the college age, Lord, I pray that you would give them a spirit of discernment, that you would give them a spirit of calmness, Lord, that they don't have to solve the world's problems today, that they don't have to figure out exactly what they're doing today. But the one thing that I want you to impress upon them now, Lord, is that your spirit is present for them, that is there to guide them, it is there to lead them, and Lord, it is there to pick them up when they fall short. And I think we all can say a loud amen that the Spirit will pick us up when we fall. So thankful for the people that are surrounding these graduates now, Lord. Such an amazing thing to see when we have all these people of this church community surrounding our graduates, praying for them, being with them. What a gift it truly is, Lord. But I pray that it does not end today, that as they continue to transition into this new stage of life, that we would continue to pray for them, that we would continue to resource them and provide them whatever it is that they need, Lord. So thankful for all that you do in our lives. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Give it up one more time for our graduates. Coming? We preaching today? Come on. All right. So we are going to continue our series on the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be in Acts 2, if you want to get your Bibles out and head there. Just kind of a quick recap of where we were last week. And we'll kind of recap it a little bit in the sermon, is that we're at this place where the disciples, I don't want to kick that off when I'm preaching, that the disciples are in this place of waiting. And so what we talked about last week is that in those moments that we're waiting for the Spirit to come upon us, those are moments that the Spirit is beginning to mold us and to shape us and to prepare us. And this is exactly where we find the disciples today, is the Spirit is shaping and molding them and preparing them for something extravagant. So, Acts 2, verse 1. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like a roaring and mighty windstorm. And it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At the time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. "How can this be?" they exclaimed. "These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we continue to invite your Spirit. Lord, I just really felt your presence already here working and moving, even through worship and celebrating the graduates. Lord, I can feel your presence today. And so I'm asking that your presence would continue to help us discern what it is that you're saying to us today, that you would give us an understanding that can only come from you. And Lord, I pray that when I mess it up, that you will clean it up in the ears of the people, that it would only be your voice and your word that they hear today. We love you so much. Thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. So I want to tell you a little story. And it's kind of fitting because the song that we were singing, Holy Forever, was a really important song for the story that I'm going to tell you. And we didn't plan this out at all, so good job, Devin. This last fall, I was down in Nicaragua for a missions trip. And so we get down there, and I don't speak Spanish. I don't know if you guys know this, but I don't. Did you know that? Si. Si. Oh, I got that. And no, right? But anyway, so we were down there for a missions trip, and there's this language barrier. Like, we had an issue of speaking to the people there. So I was like, I got this. I'm tech savvy. I got it all figured out. I'm going to get Google Translate. I'm going to use that, and it's going to work perfect. No. Here's the thing about Google Translate. It's really good if the person that you're like translating with speaks perfect Spanish, like textbook Spanish. Now, if the Spanish speakers are speaking slang or a different variant of Spanish, guess what Google Translate does? Or it just throws in some random word that just doesn't make sense. And so I had this moment where I'm talking to this lady, and I'm like typing in stuff, and I'm like showing her, and so she's like trying to like read it, and she's just like, she just keeps shaking her head. She's like, and so what ends up happening is this breakdown of communication where we can't understand what they're saying, they can't understand what we're saying, and so there's this disconnect unless the translator's around, and then you can have a conversation. But the one thing I'll tell you, this is the one thing I did learn, that holy forever, okay, santo por siempre, holy forever. So there you go. You learned Spanish today. But as we were with these kids, they were singing that song. And that's how I learned that saying. This has nothing to do with the message, by the way. They were singing this to their heart's desire. It was so loud. I mean, kind of like we were singing today. And they were just, santo. I can't sing, by the way. But they were just singing from the bottom of their heart. And I understood them. I understood exactly what they were singing in that moment. I didn't need Google Translate to tell me what they were saying. They were singing to the Holy Spirit and what he does in their lives. And these were, you know, 12 to 14-year-old kids just singing their hearts out. And so what does all this have to do with the message? Is that the Holy Spirit is a way better translator than we ever will be. Google Translate has nothing on the Holy Spirit. And so in that moment, God was using those kids to show me his Spirit. And it is an experience that I will never forget. And I promise you, when I was singing over there during that song, I was singing Santo por Siempre because it means that much to me. Those kids were worshiping God. And I pray that us as a church can worship that way, because it was just fantastic. So, not to get a little sentimental there, but it was quite the experience. I will tell you that when I was using Google Translate, I was trying to get into a gym. That's what I was doing. Like, I found a gym, and I was like trying to get like day passes, and it just like wasn't working. So then I started using like fingers, like two people, one, like it was awful, absolutely awful. So let's dive into this. Acts 2:1 says this. On the day of Pentecost, all of the believers were meeting together in one place. And so our first point is this. You can't receive the power if you won't make room. And so this is kind of where the recap comes in, is that the believers had gotten to this place where Jesus had ascended. And he said, my Spirit's going to come upon you. I'm going to bring it in a powerful way, but you have to sit here and wait and prepare. And so when we pick up the story in chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost, what did they do? Because we didn't cover the rest of chapter 1. Well, I'll tell you what they were doing. One, they had an LBA meeting. That's what they had. Like, they had a board meeting. Like, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but they were deciding who was going to be on the board. You know, Judas had did what Judas was going to do. And so now they were down a disciple. And so they literally, as they're waiting on the Holy Spirit, have a business meeting to decide who is going to be the next disciple. And so Matthias is you know, voted in. And so during this whole process, is the Holy Spirit working in this moment, right? Can the Holy Spirit work through a board meeting? Can the Holy Spirit work through prayer and fasting? And the answer is a resounding yes. And so I think for us today, when we see this business meeting that is happening, is I hope that you're praying for your church board. This is like a side note of side notes to the message, but I hope that you're praying for your LBA, that as they're sitting down together, which we have a meeting coming up here soon, that you're praying that the Lord's Spirit would be upon them for discernment. There's a lot of decisions that happen in those meetings. And so I pray that we're inviting the Holy Spirit into those moments, not only us as a board, but as us as a congregation, that we're praying that the Holy Spirit would be upon those elected to govern our church. Now, that's just a side note of a side note, but that's important. And so in this moment of deciding who is going to be the next disciple, we learn that they're sitting and praying. And so what is Pentecost? I think that's what we need to understand first before we get into the Holy Spirit coming. And so if we go to Exodus 34, verse 22, it says, "You must celebrate the festival of harvest with the first crop of wheat harvest and celebrate the festival of final harvest at the end of the harvest season." So that first part is the festival of harvest, or what they called it was the Feast of Weeks. This is what Pentecost was. And so you had this pilgrimage to Jerusalem that all of these Jewish people and converts were coming in to Jerusalem. Leslie, will you put that picture up for us? Is it up? Oh, yeah, there it is. I was like looking in the back. I'm like, where is it? So this just kind of shows that all of these different people groups were coming in to Jerusalem for this festival. Now, why is that important? Why would God use this moment to reveal the Holy Spirit? Is this starting to sound familiar? No? Yes? So when Jesus was in Jerusalem for Passover and he went to the cross, right? Lots of people would have been in Jerusalem. Do you guys like read this and like, oh, God's up to his old tricks again? Nobody else? Okay, all right. Well, when I read something like this, I'm like, man, God is doing it again, because all of these people are coming to Jerusalem. And what's God going to use that for? He's going to use it for his witness. And so you have all of these influences in one place, and God says, you know what? I'm going to bring my Holy Spirit in a powerful way during this moment so the most people can experience it. It's not by accident that God chose this moment. It's not by accident that Jesus died on the cross during Passover. Like, these are all important things to the story. Acts 2:2-4 says this, "Suddenly there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." So here is our next point. When the Spirit speaks, fear stops talking. I don't think I can underscore the importance of this very moment in the history of the church. Because if this moment does not happen, we are not sitting here today. The New Testament as we know it in our Bibles does not happen. The spreading of faith across the world and the globe does not happen without the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so we often look at these events as like they're separated. So we during Christmas, we talk about Jesus' birth. I'm like, oh, that's great. And then we talk about Good Friday. And then we talk about Easter. And then we talk about Pentecost. And we make them seem like these are all like individual, separate events. But that's not how God designed it. God designed it as one linear story. Like this is his story that he's bringing to us. And the Holy Spirit is not just some add-on to the story of Jesus. It's one of the most important parts of the Jesus story. Without the Holy Spirit, we're not where we are today. When Jesus was here and he was walking with his disciples and he was teaching and preaching, and that was amazing. And we get to read all about it, right? Like we base a lot of stuff on Jesus, right? Jesus dying on the cross is kind of a big deal, right? Would we agree on that? Two of you agree. Okay. I'll keep working on you guys. But that's a big deal, right? Jesus dying on the cross. But in the terms of eternity, Jesus walking and talking with the disciples and dying on the cross and ascending is about this big. And the power of the Holy Spirit spans all eternity. So why do we take the Holy Spirit and say, you sit right here and we'll get you when we need you? Like, it just doesn't make sense. And we talk about it every year. We're like, yes, the Holy Spirit came and it gives us power. Now go sit over there. I want to talk about Jesus. Like, this is foundational stuff to the church and how the church grew. So I hope that we as a church don't take the Holy Spirit and just put it in this box. That we realize that the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us constantly. When you open up your Bible, I'm going to test you here. I'm going to test you. Where is the first occurrence of the Holy Spirit in the Bible? Anybody know? What is it?
Genesis.
Very first chapter. When God looks over the chaos of the water. And the Spirit is present and it forms everything that we know. Like the Spirit is there at the beginning. This is why we celebrate the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Like it's all together. And we believe that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. So at the very beginning, right, when God is looking over the chaos and he's getting ready to put it into order, they're all there, writing the order of everything. So if you remember nothing else today, I pray that you would never put the Holy Spirit in the corner again, that you would let it infiltrate your lives, that you would let it soak into you so deeply that whatever you're doing, whatever you're saying today, because the 2:2 says this, they were sitting. But we already talked about the Holy Spirit being present at the very beginning. Read from Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. Listen to this part. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and the man became a living person. Listen, we were just a body until God's breath was breathed into us. And at that moment, we became a living creature. Totally different than a body. We became an embodiment of body and soul. And so the wind coming into Pentecost in this room is significant because it matches exactly what God was doing in Genesis, is that his Spirit was coming in to fill, to give life. And it's always interesting how God moves in the Bible. We see him moving through wind. And then we see him moving through fire. Acts 2:3 says this, "Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them." Now, after we just finished up our series on Exodus, when we see a fire reference, how many of you are going, uh-huh, we've been here before? Nobody? Okay. All right. So hopefully we're starting to put all this together. Like, these aren't new tricks that God is using. Like, God is showing himself to the world in familiar ways. And why does he have to use familiar ways? I'm going to let you on a little secret. We're pretty dumb. Right? Like, you're not laughing, but inside you're like, yeah. It's so true. I'll just speak for myself. I'm pretty dumb. So if God can give me information in an easy, digestible way, I'm like, thank you, Lord. Exodus 40:38 says this, "The cloud of the Lord hovered over the tabernacle during the day, and at night the fire glowed inside the cloud, so the whole family of Israel could see it." This continued through all their journeys. Like, God is like showing us pretty significantly that he is showing up and his presence is upon this place. Like, that's what the fire theopathy happens, is when fire is used, it's showing that his presence is there in a real and powerful way. When Moses is on Mount Sinai, what comes on the mountain? There's smoke and fire. They would have all known what was happening. Like, even the Jewish people who were there who weren't followers of Christ, they would have known exactly what was going on. That the wind rushing in and the fire setting on this place, they'd have been like, oh, it's him. Acts 2:4 says this, "And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability." Let's get to an important point here, is why is it important that we're filled with the Holy Spirit? Like, what does that mean? What does that do for us? Because we often say, like, I have the Holy Spirit on me, or, you know, I can really feel the Holy Spirit, his presence here. But what does that exactly mean? And what does it empower us to do? If we go back to the disciples, before, right after the death of Jesus on the cross, and Jesus has died, the disciples scatter. They head out. Out of fear, out of anxiety, out of whatever it is, whatever's going to happen to them, they say, you know what, it's not worth it, we're heading out. And so they scatter, let's say out of fear. And so when we get to this place in Acts, where the Holy Spirit is getting ready to come on them in a powerful way, we have to ask ourselves, like, what does the Holy Spirit do in those moments? Because Mark 16:8 says this, "The women fled from the tomb, trembling and bewildered. They said nothing to anyone because they were too frightened." They went into hiding. They were worried. They were scared. They were nervous. They were so afraid of what was going to happen to them because of what happened to Jesus. And so over the course of these 50 days, Jesus appeared to them, showed them truth, promised them that the Spirit was going to come upon them in a powerful way, and that was going to give them power. And then he ascended into heaven, and then they waited for 10 days for the Holy Spirit to come. And so from that time, in those 50 days, what it did was the Holy Spirit empowered them for ministry. is that it came on them in a powerful and meaningful way, that these people who were once hiding were now bold proclaimers of what Christ has done. 50 days, that's it. That's all it took. And we're going to read about it in a little bit, is right after the Holy Spirit comes, the disciples and the 120 that were there step up, and Peter gives a fantastic sermon, way better than any sermon I'll ever give. And then we'll get there. We'll get there. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself there. Acts 2:14 says this: Then Peter stepped forward with the 11 other apostles and shouted to the crowd, "Listen carefully, all of you fellow Jews and residents of Jerusalem. Make no mistake about this." He was getting ready to boldly proclaim the good news that comes from Jesus. The one who had denied Jesus 3 times. And Jesus came to him and restored him 3 times. He gets to this moment where he is empowered by the Holy Spirit to boldly proclaim Jesus. Even though he had failed Jesus monumentally, Jesus restored him to this place of prominence and said, "I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit." And he proclaimed the word. Acts 2:37 says this: Peter's words pierced the hearts, and they said to him and the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And Peter's like, "You should believe and be baptized. That's what you should do." But we'll get a little bit further in there. Acts 2:5-6 says this: At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. When they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. Our next point is this: the Spirit speaks their language before you do. So we had already talked about how there was this influx of people in Jerusalem at this time. And so God was purposely using this moment. It was the perfect opportunity when he could use the Spirit to speak to many different nations. And as we talked about last week, he said that his Spirit was going to empower his message to go from, here's your test, from Judea to, this is where you participate, Judea to Samaria. Huh? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to go back to week one. Acts 1. Now I got to find it. 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses, telling people about me elsewhere in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Okay. I'm glad you guys listen. So am I. But this was the plan for the Holy Spirit. Let's get back on track here. This was the plan for the Holy Spirit. It was going to make this small movement here in Jerusalem, and then it was going to spread to the ends of the earth. And what's the best way to do that is, well, bring everyone from the ends of the earth into one place and have the Holy Spirit come powerfully upon this place, and they're going to go home and be like, "Dude, you're never going to guess what happened. There was like a wind, and there was like these tongue flame things, and I don't even know what they were, and they were speaking our language that they were not us." Like, this is how you get the message to spread quickly. And it's not by mistake that everyone found themselves in Jerusalem for this moment, and that God was going to start in like it's all connected. Are we on track here? Like this is really cool. Oftentimes when you get this verse and the tongues of fire and speaking other languages, like this is where the speaking in tongues conversation starts. Now I want to be careful and mindful of our time because I don't think we have enough time to get all the way into that conversation. We will at some point, but today's not that day. And so what I'm going to tell you today, because 1 Corinthians 12:10 says this, still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what's being said. So when we get there, which is not today, we'll get into really deep of the difference of speaking in tongues, which is what I think Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians. And what Luke is talking about in Acts is that he was just speaking languages where people could understand because there was no one there to interpret. So it's hard to, for me at least, to get to the place where they were speaking in tongues. But trust me, we don't have enough time for that today. But let that be the basis of our understanding was they were speaking in a language that everyone could understand. Now, whether that be they were all speaking the same language and the people from the world could just understand it, or they were individually speaking those languages, like you could go either way, right? Like, let's just make this the basis of they were speaking about Jesus and everyone understood. Is that a fair assumption? Is that what you get when you read this section, right? Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you guys are listening. This is good. This is good. Acts 2:12. They stood there, amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Our next point and final question is this. Is there enough fire in you to get somebody asking why? Is there enough fire in you to get someone asking why? When the Holy Spirit came upon them in a powerful way, they began to witness to those people around them. And so when I read this section of Scripture, I see a holiness message like all the way through it. Is that when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they lived different, they talked different, and people started to take notice. And so those that they were speaking to came to this place where they said, what do you have? How is that fire burning in you? I want some of that. That's what the holiness message is that when someone sees your walk with Christ, how you are faithfully serving him, serving the church, serving those around you, that people see that fire and they go, I want some of that. How do I get there? Well, that's the Holy Spirit speaking through you to someone else. I'll give you an example here. So yesterday I was able to officiate a wedding for my neighbor from Ohio. So my former neighbor from Ohio, she had asked us a long time ago, like, can you do the wedding? Like even before, like we were like planning on coming to Michigan. I was like, yeah, absolutely. We'll do it. And then, well, you guys called us. And when I say you, God called us here, but do I need to keep saying that, that God called me or you guys? Okay, all right. I trust the Spirit, okay? Anyways, I'm getting off track again. So when they found out we were moving to Michigan, she like ran up to us. She's like, you're still going to do the wedding, right? And in my head, I'm like, no. I'm not driving from Michigan to Ohio to do a wedding. I did. But why did I do it? Right? That's the question. Why did I do it? I could have easily said, oh, no, I can't. It's so inconvenient. I got I got general conference that day. I can't fit it into my schedule. It would have been so easy. I could have found another pastor to do it. But I said yes. I said yes. And why? Because we have been trying to witness to our neighbor for a very long time. I don't know exactly where they are on their walk. And that's not for me to know. But what we wanted to do as a family was to be a good witness to our neighbor. And so that's what we tried to live out the whole time that we lived next to them. And so, like, when I said yes to this wedding, I was like, oh, this is a perfect opportunity. I'll get to marry them and have conversations, like all this. And then you guys called us and ruined everything. Just kidding. I love you guys. But we were witnessing to this family. And so this was this opportunity for them to see us and say, what do you guys have? Why is your family always outside running around and so happy? Like, what do you guys have? And so we didn't get to ultimately get to those conversations that I think we would have gotten to if we stayed in Ohio. But we did get to this place of, we married them, and we had this conversation at the reception where she said, and this was the cool part, she said, I watched your first message when you were in Michigan. And so the Holy Spirit was working in her life through the witness. Now, we didn't do anything special, right? The Kellys aren't anything special. We were just trusting what the Lord had put in front of us. And so the Holy Spirit had begun to work on her to a place where she was willing to step outside of her comfort zone and watch one of our messages on a Sunday morning. How cool is that? Now, what's that going to lead to? I don't know. We're still in contact. We still talk with them. They said we're better neighbors than their new neighbors. I'm just saying. But how cool is it that those moments that pop up in everyday life, you don't know where they're going to happen, but they just pop up, where you get to be that witness to someone around you. And church, don't forget this part, is that we can never do it on our own. There is no way that I could be a witness to that family on my own unless I trusted in the power of the Holy Spirit. So wherever you are going this week, remember that we don't take the Holy Spirit and set him in the corner. We carry him with us. We take him with us wherever we go, so that it gives us power and it gives us strength. Would you stand with me? So we had kind of touched on it earlier, was the Holy Spirit came upon them, and the 120 that were present and all the disciples were there. Peter steps up and gives this sermon, boldly proclaiming Jesus and all that he has done. And so we get to this point when he finishes up the sermon. And this is in Acts 2, verse 41. When he finally finishes up the sermon and they ask, what should we do? He said that you should believe in Jesus and be baptized. And this is what Luke writes. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. Boldly proclaiming the message of Jesus that is empowered by the Holy Spirit can change the trajectory of everything. Everything. I don't know if we'll have a revival of 3,000 in one day, but trusting in the Spirit allows you to have that one moment with someone you think is far from Christ, where they come to you and say, I watched your first message, and you know that the Holy Spirit is working in their lives, that He has started working in their lives. All that we can do is be faithful to what the Spirit is speaking to us in the moment. Nothing more, nothing less. And so, church, I pray that as we search the Scriptures and ask that the Holy Spirit work in us, that we would trust His guidance in those moments, and that we would not lean on our own understanding. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the gift and the empowerment of your Holy Spirit, that it came powerfully upon the disciples, that they were boldly proclaiming your word to those around them, so that today we have your word, we have your truth, but most importantly, we have your Spirit, Lord. And so I pray for our church community now that you would empower us to speak boldly about what you have done in our lives. That wherever we're feeling anxiety or depression, or we're just not adding up to whatever it is, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would be upon us now. That those that are hurting right now, your Spirit would be a sense of comfort. Those who walked in with heavy hearts, with whatever's going on in their lives, Lord, remind them that your Spirit is present now. You are in this room, Lord. We're praying for that miracle, whatever it is, Lord. Let us be so bold as the disciples to proclaim your word and your truth and your Spirit to all those around us. We love you. We praise you. And everyone said, as this movement of Jesus was beginning, it started so small. And then it began to grow and grow and grow. They didn't have a fancy discipleship plan. They didn't have outstanding marketing. They didn't have the world's best logo. Like, none of this stuff that we worry about in today's church was important for the early church. What did they base it on? And how did this movement grow? It was how they lived and trusting in the Holy Spirit. Acts 2. Starting at verse 42. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Church, I don't care about our programming. Those things are important. I don't care about our logo. That's important. What I care about is that this community would be surrounded by the Holy Spirit. That we would be a community that is focused on prayer. That we would be a community that says we are going to trust what the Holy Spirit is doing in us and through us. The rest of it will take care of itself. But if we are walking in holiness and trusting the Holy Spirit, God was going to bless this community, not for our sake. Listen, not for our sake, but for the community around us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Be blessed, and we'll see you next week.